Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to the Geek Cave Podcast Gaming. I need to inform you that we have been purchased by EA, so the first 2 minutes are free, but after that, it's going to cost you $5.99 per ear. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
And you can insert your credit card. I'll get back to you. Let's first thank our sponsor, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today. With great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs and everything geek chic, whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or you're just weird, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages, Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep just as long as you want. And when you're done, send it back with a postage paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than those in-store prices. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. And I should explain, we were not bought by EA, because if we had been, we all would have been fired the second that the sale was done. So, gentlemen, how are you?
Well, I'm a little bit disappointed that the sale to EA
it didn't go through. Yeah, it fell through.
Because I was looking forward to some retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But, you
know. It's okay. I mean.
There's time.
We'll talk about your options.
Well, you know, we keep up with the podcast for another 40 years, and we'll be able to retire
good.
Comfortably.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
I mean, I'm a little relieved, because this is the only excuse I have to talk to you guys. So, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, that's fair.
We play D&D together.
Like he said, it's his only excuse.
No.
Those are the characters.
That's his character
talking.
Those are
the characters, yeah. I'm a method actor, so.
Right. Fair enough.
So you're not talking to Justin, you're talking to Johnny.
And so on and so forth.
And so on and so forth.
All right. Well, in the interest of moving forward, Chad.
Yo.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby.
You know, since I've started doing these demos, I've played some excellent demos. Like Lies of P.
Yeah.
Klonoa was really, really good.
Yeah.
I played some good demos that told me that I didn't really want to play the game. You know, like Scarlet Nexus, which I think you really liked.
I did like it. I own it.
Deadly Days was another one. You know, is a good example. It was a good demo, but it just the game wasn't for me. And I've played some really terrible demos, like Relayer and Process of Elimination. So when I played this game and realized that I have to come up with a new designation called Y. You know, I was happy before this game.
Yep.
I'd get the demo and I'd say, hey, this is great. Or I'd say, get the demo and try it out. Or I'd say, don't even play the demo. And then I played Potato Sack Racing Simulator 2024. And I have to say, why? I mean, to what end was this game with giant air quotes made? I feel like the victim of a prank show, but not one of the harmless ones. Like, this is a prank show that would have been rejected from Jackass for being too cruel. Simulator games, do better. Do better, Canada. Let's discuss. This is a game in which the backgrounds look like they were drawn in MS Paint by someone using the wrong hand. And by the wrong hand, I mean that they took somebody else's hand and they forced it around. Or they tried to describe... No, it's not even that. This is a game that the art style can best be described as trying to trying to describe the scenery to a deaf person who is going to draw it using only a series of grunts and interpretive dance. My God. It is exactly a potato sack race, sort of. You got two levels that for the demo. And one of the levels, you're just on the street. You just got to hop around. And there are obstacles in the way. You know, there's toxic waste barrels and broken CRT televisions because that's all they have in Canada. We're still waiting for high def to hit Canada. All of these obstacles, by the way, and the enemies, which I think the enemies were a maxi pad, an athletic cup, an AR-15, a CD.
I remember,
with
yeah.
arms, legs, and
a human mouth,
and eyes, a grandpa, that would like old timey boxer up to you, then turn around and fart. Yo, and any of them can kill you, and all of them just have human eyes and mouths like taped on to them.
So yep. like those old Quiznos commercials.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's very much like those.
And to defend yourself, you have a few options. I mean, you can defend yourself. They're not cruel about it. You can sweep in a leg, which is slow. Oh my God. This is one of those games that's like, hey, you know how Dark Souls, you push the button and that starts the animation for attacking, so timing's key? Let's do that, but worse. And so you push the button, then your guy says something clever while he sweeps the leg, still in the potato sack. Or he does the, a punch in your face.
Which is a punch.
A punch in your face. Mm-hmm. Where he punches, again, so slowly that sloths can dodge. Or he's got a gun. That gun has a fire rate of approximately one bullet every 6 seconds.
We counted.
Yes. None of them are effective, by the way. We took one enemy to kill it with a gun. It took 15 shots. We counted. Do you want to know what that means? It took a minute and a half to kill this one enemy just to be able to jump on his platform.
What was the one enemy?
The CD with the eyes and mouth.
Oh,
and
well,
the...
yeah, of course.
I never made it to the end of that level. I died before seeing the end. And then I learned that there's a dedicated start over button. You know, in case you want to accidentally start the unending level from the beginning, when you, what you really wanted to do was punch in your face. There's no pause. There's no pause and end the level. There's no return to the main menu. Do you want to know how you get out of this level? Because we never found the end. No, you press the PS button. You go down to your home screen. You get to the home screen. Then you go to the application. You hit the options button and you close the application. Then you reopen it and now you can try a different level.
Huh.
The closest thing that this game has to a redeeming quality is the soundtrack. The only reason to play this game is because of the soundtrack. And you know what? You don't have to play the game for it. You don't. Kimulator Games has a YouTube channel and they've put all four songs
just
on the
four.
YouTube channel.
Yep.
Of which I'm pretty sure my personal favorite was the banger, "Why Did You Buy This Game?" Which the lyrics begin, "Why did you buy this game? You know it was $20. Which, to end my review, I'll paraphrase, why did I download this game? Why did I download this demo? Why indeed? Back to you, Darren.
I just want to publicly apologize for bringing it up. Because this
we were hopped up on hockey fumes.
Yeah. See, because the Geek Cave guys, we do an annual hockey trip to see the St. Louis Blues.
It was great.
And sometimes they win and sometimes they lose. You know, no Blues. But either way, we go. And on the way down to St. Louis, I mentioned the chat, hey, did you hear about Potato Sack Racing Simulator 2024? There's a demo for it. And he's like, no, but I'll check it out. That was a mistake, and I apologize.
You know, you can't control the quality of the games.
No.
I had a good time.
We all had a good time. It was the after effects.
No, now. Oh, okay. Right now.
We're at now now.
We're now, now now.
Oh, I had a great time at the game. Don't get me wrong.
Justin.
Yes.
Yeah, you were fine during the game. You were paying a lot of attention to what was on ice. But I do notice that you've been spending a lot of time on Reddit. What's up with that?
Well, thank you for asking. So as many of you know, I have a wide breadth of knowledge to the gaming that I think is useful to the gaming community, but I don't get to play much. So I've gone to Reddit's Ask Games to find questions that I think deserve a definitive answer in a little segment I like to call
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Thank you, Nigel. So this month's question is, are there any games like Pokemon Go, but for driving?
Oh, no.
Oh,
I believe it's called Pedestrian Polo.
No.
Where the people or things that you collect, air quotes, are worth random assortment of points. Of course, there are, you know, hundreds of pedestrians to get, and you know, it's called hitting, but it's more collecting, will increase your overall points. Or this may just be a game my drunk Uncle Billy made up on one of his many stints between rehab. I'm not sure. I was never allowed to spend too much time with him.
Hello? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he just finished. Mm-hmm. I understand. The Deep Cave podcast disavows anything illegal that may have just been said. Thank you, Justin.
There's a disclaimer before the segment.
I just got off the phone with legal. They just wanted to be sure.
Okay.
So, thank you. Pedestrian Polo.
I mean, we always just played There's a Car.
Padiddle. We played Padiddle.
Padiddle's a good one. You can set the wind condition.
If you got siblings, Punch Buggy is good.
Now, I've never played this game, okay? It's something I heard about.
Yeah. Have you played anything else?
Yes, I have. I have a shallow save file.
All right.
So, I am a huge fan of Inspector Gadget.
Oh, you didn't.
So when Inspector Gadget's Mad Time Party came up on Gamefly, I thought, okay.
So just to recap, you are picking games on Gamefly based on what criteria?
Just the cover art.
Carry on.
Yep. So this game has Wii era graphics.
Okay. Not bad, but not great. But
not
okay.
Not great. You know. Clunky controls.
Okay.
The first mini game. So the premise of the game is you, Inspector Gadget, push the big red button on a time machine, which you weren't supposed to push, causing it to explode and have five other gadgets from around time appear, your ancestors. There's a Viking gadget, there's an old English gadget, there's a caveman gadget, and so on. And it is your job to collect the parts for the time machine to get them back to where they need to go. The first mini game I encountered was confusing because you have to hit, it's a battle royale style of mini game where you have to hit your ancestors while avoiding cars in a crosswalk. Like, you're in a crosswalk, and you're punching each other, but if you get hit, it's confusing.
Hmm.
It's a game for kids. The thing that pissed me off the most...
Here we go.
Everybody tried with the voice acting, except the person they hired to play Inspector Gadget. Because...
What, French Stewart wasn't available?
No. I would have been okay with French Stewart.
I mean, there's no way they're getting Matthew Broderick, so just...
No.
Don Adams is a little...
A little preoccupied in the afterlife.
Yeah.
No. So, everybody else that I encountered...
Fine.
You know, tried.
Yeah.
Then there's Gadget, who pretty much talked like this the entire time, because, of course, he is a robot. No! Inspector Gadget sounds like this! See, even I can do a decent gadget.
It was a decent gadget, yeah.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Yeah. I don't know if it came across, but it was good in person.
That is what pissed me off about this game. So, yes, not everything from your childhood translates to other media. I am sorry to say that Inspector Gadget's Mad Time Party, not worth it.
What platform?
For the Switch.
Okay. Well, thank you. We've got reviews. I've got a review, and I've got my pile of shame, but do you have any other? I think you were talking about you played another game too, right?
I did, yeah. I recently played the Stanley Parable 2.
Okay.
And by the Stanley Parable 2, I mean I played the Stanley Parable, screwed up enough that they said, you know what, you seem like you want a new game. So now the screen says the Stanley Parable 2.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Isn't it just amazing?
It really is. Although I'm running out of venues and avenues to take with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Eventually you do come to an end.
Yeah.
But man, it's fun, right?
Are you at least having fun with this one?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Absolutely.
Good, good.
So far, my favorite bit has been the person telling me to set the time at the beginning.
Oh, every time you start the game?
No, he went away.
Well,
eventually, he went away.
But, like, it gets to know you.
Yeah.
He's like, okay. What time is it? And you set the time. And after, like, three or five, it's just like, I don't really need you to do this. Yeah. I just like getting to know you.
Set your favorite time.
Set your favorite time. Set any time.
Ooh.
Here's some sliders. You know, adjust it until you can just barely see the computer. Adjust it to cat or dog, depending on your preference. Mm.
Maybe you just like using sliders. Here's a slider that does nothing. Put it where you want.
I like that.
Then they introduce the bucket.
Yes. The bucket. It has no practical purpose.
It's just a bucket.
It's just a bucket. Now, but now you've got something that you can carry around with you.
Mm-hmm.
What? Did you also do the collectibles? The collectible.
I can't find the last one.
It doesn't matter. There's no trophy for it.
Well, that's what they say.
No, there's no trophy for it.
That's what they say. But in the conference room.
Yeah.
It says there is.
Oh. Did you get the trophy for jiggling the handle on door 405 five times?
Thought it was 430.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I did that one. Yeah.
You think that it's just jiggling it five times, and then the narrator says, that was too much. You should earn this. And so it has you run throughout the thing, turning things and
getting more excited as you go along. And
nice.
My favorite bit was so you get the bucket, and you make it down to the mind control thing, and you turn the mind control thing on with the bucket, and then it just shows you pictures of silly birds.
That's wonderful.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, it's fun.
All right, nice. So Stanley Parable still a must play.
The Stanley Parable still a must play.
Okay, yeah. All right. Good to know. Well, before we get to our pile of shame, here's another must play if you are an RPG fan. Yes.
D&D.
No. Well, yes. Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2, The Revenge. I mean, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Whatever they're calling it. Look, I dumped 45 hours into this thing, and I can tell you approximately five things about it. One, play on quality mode because, 30 frames per second is not as cool as 60 frames per second, but at least it's not mud. If you play it on performance mode, everything's super blurry, and I don't like that. Number two, Queen's Blood is an overrated card game. I hate it, and I hate the fact that I had to play it for at least a good portion of Chapter 5 because I was stuck on a cruise ship. Do better. Number three, most of the side games are fine. They're good for what they are, but if you're a completionist, you're going to spend way too long. You want to know how many mini games are in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth?
No, but you're going to tell us.
21.
Damn.
21.
I went over. I win
the showcase.
Number four, the open world is way too big. It suffers from what I call Ubisoft.
Oh, yeah.
As in, there's a tower in every region. And after that tower, you unlock more things to do in every region. It's the same thing. You know, you go to the thing, you stand the thing, you go fight the thing, you stand more things. Eventually, you stand a bigger thing, and then you fight a bigger thing. So on and so forth. Completely distracts from the story. Except for the side quests that if you're trying to... All right, there's a relationship mechanic in this game. You're trying to build affinity with a certain character, but this side quest raises that person's affinity, and this side quest raises that person's, and before long, I'm on a date with a dog. Which brings me to number five. The Gold Saucer is still a lot of fun. If you ever played the original Final Fantasy VII, there is a theme park where you end up to go on a date with one of your party members. I was trying for either Tifa or Aerith. I ended up with Red, the big cat dog with tail on fire. Still funny. Still a good time. Not as funny as the time I ended up on the Ferris wheel with Barrett, who is a big black guy with a machine gun for an arm, who in the original just sits there in the Ferris wheel staring at you going, what the hell are we doing? Now, I say all of this, and it sounds like I didn't have a good time, but I enjoyed Final Fantasy Rebirth thoroughly. You know, I think that it's a great addition to the remake trilogy. I love that they are trying something different with the story. No spoilers, but I will say that if you go on in there expecting exactly what happened in Final Fantasy VII, you will be more than a little bit confused, because the guy behind Kingdom Hearts is writing for this game. And he Kingdom Hearted all over the place towards the end. That being said, you know, I enjoyed 90% of it. Aside from the side quests and my complaint about the open world, it's a beautiful game. The combat is still satisfying. And I still say that if you are not an RPG fan as far as turn-based or video game RPGs, but you've ever been curious about the world of Final Fantasy VII, pick up Remake and pick up Rebirth and get ready for part three of the sequel trilogy, probably sometime in 2026. This is definitely worth your time. Just don't spend a whole lot of time in the open world, because you're just going to hate it. Too much to do. Too big. Anyway, that's what she said. Do we have anything else?
Turns out both of you were right. Spider-Man 2 is really good.
Spider-Man 2 is really good. Yeah.
And then I picked up this indie game.
Don't.
I won't. Okay. I was going to. Yeah. For long-time listeners of the podcast, you know what game I was going to talk about.
You know. Anyway.
Remind Darren it exists on the Discord.
Ken.
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
What? What were you going to say?
I've probably never heard of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't play many games. That's a valid thing to say.
So let me describe something to you, and then you tell me whether or not you think this would be an exciting time.
Okay. Yes.
Giant customizable mechs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fighting giant monsters.
Okay.
Right.
In futuristic looking cities that are pretty destructible.
Did you play a Transformers game?
No.
Thank God.
Including weapons that you can pick up, ranging from like a beam katana to a giant frying pan.
Yes.
With a lot of anime storytelling sensibilities.
Yes.
So why was Override so fucking boring?
Oh, no.
Override, Mech City Brawl. Welcome to Darren's Pile of Shame. This year is the year of the who? As in,
never gets old.
I take a look at my game library this year, and I realize that, you know, there's a lot of games here that I have zero playtime in. I don't remember buying this. Why did I buy this? And then afterwards, sometimes I'm saying, why did I buy this? Such is the case for Override Mech City Brawl. I know exactly why I bought this. I saw the trailers for it way back when it came out a few years ago, and I thought, that looks really awesome because of all the things I just listed. It's a beat 'em up, you know, where you go into these kind of arena settings and you play this kind of a wunderkind who, you know, has been recruited by the government to help fight giant monsters and all that stuff. And you have a mech suit that you do it in. It's too bad that the controls suck. In that, all right, you're playing a 3D brawler. Mm-hmm. What button do you push to throw a punch?
Square
X or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Depends on the system, but yeah.
L1 for your left hand. R1 for your right hand. L2 for your left foot. R2 for your right foot. Now, quick, tell me how you would pick up an item.
Push in L3.
Left arrow on the D-pad for your left hand. Right arrow on the D-pad for your right hand. How do you block?
Up and down?
No, it's Y. But for the most part, the controls are clunky.
I don't have a Y on my controller.
Yeah, well, for triangle for you.
Okay, thank
you. I played on an Xbox controller.
Appreciate it.
Because I picked this up on Steam, which that's going to be a running theme this year, is a lot of these games I got in bundles or just because Steam has sales and I'm a bit of a reverse hoe, I guess. Is it I just keep giving people money? Anyway, I'm getting off track. Override.
By the way, I'm having a sale on my friendship.
Hold on, I got a 20 somewhere around here.
Ooh.
But, the cast of characters looks cool. I think part of what hurts it is that there is an arcade mode. The story mode is just kind of whatever. The missions are short. But I think it was developed primarily to be for multiplayer. And they have since released Override 2, which means the multiplayer for Override 1 is arid and dry like the Sahara. As in, I couldn't find a match. So I couldn't really test that well. You want to know how much total playtime I put in on this? And I try to play at least like 60 to 80% of every game I review, if not completion, just based on what it is.
48 minutes.
45.
You been over.
I know.
45. We're not doing Price is Right rules. You're still pretty close.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I wish I could say that I played for longer, but I think I saw everything I needed to see in that amount of time to think, thank God I spent less than $10 on this. Override Mech City Brawl. It's got all the bones of something fun, but just not for me, unfortunately. So, oh well, there's always next month. In the meantime, for Justin, our Voltron, for Kent, our Megazord, for Chad, our Gundam. Yeah, I'm going to go with Gundam. I'm Darren. I used to have GoBots. And remember, everyone is a geek for something.